Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, for mothers giving birth, there are still some severe restrictions on hospital visits and for how long a partner can be present for the birth. The Lord Mayor of Dublin, Hazel Shue, has asked for, proposed that it's time perhaps for a review of that. And she joins us now on News Talk. Afternoon, Hazel.
Afternoon, Sean.
I assume it's a different story in different hospitals.
Right now, I'm trying to find out the facts. What came about with this was I saw a tweet from Sarah Flynn on Twitter, who got told a story by one of the pregnant women that she was in touch with, saying how horrific it was for her going to scans and having to go through the whole process on her own with her other half not being allowed in at all. And then from that, Sarah got more stories. There were some pretty horrific and tragic stories of people having miscarriages and seeing that there was no heartbeat on the screen, but having no one there at all to hold their hand. And that was when I said, okay, well, I'm going to go find out about this. So I contacted the Masters of Holles Street, who told me that he will be doing a internal and external meeting during the week, and he will come back to me with an answer. And then I'm contacting then the Masters of Rotunda and Coombe as well. But I didn't want to just tell them, well, this is happening and something I saw on Twitter. So what I did was I did a call out yesterday and asked women for their experiences of what they have gone through in the last 7-8 months, if they have been pregnant or given birth or still right now being pregnant, of what their experiences of each hospital and overall, so that I can present some facts behind why we are asking for a review of the restrictions.
Right, okay. And while obviously it's been very difficult for women, of course, for the woman particularly, but for partners and families as well during that time, is it the right time to even consider easing up those restrictions, given the numbers are climbing again?
To be fair, Sean, if we were on lockdown mode right now, I for one would definitely not be questioning this. But because we do have schools back, we have restaurants that have customers, we have pubs opening back, we do have retail all that have been opened back, I think this is something that we do need to look at. It does need to be reviewed, because at the end of the day, it is not just the physical health of people who are pregnant that we need to look at. It's also the mental health. It's a huge mental strain to not have that support there when you are going through pregnancy or after giving birth, because it's one of the most vulnerable and challenging times of your life, and it's made even more challenging by the circumstances we are under. So no one is saying that there shouldn't be restrictions if there is a requirement. What we are asking for is a review and to understand why they are still in place. And if they're not fit for purpose now, then we need them to be reviewed and lifted.
Though at the same time, in fairness, is it a fair comparison to make between hospitals and shops and restaurants? Hospitals, by definition, have sick people in them. Therefore, they're most vulnerable people.
Absolutely, and we need to protect the most vulnerable, and this is why we do need to protect the welfare of parents that are, or women that are pregnant. But part of that welfare includes the welfare of their mental health. And if we are going in, say, for a consult or a scan, then is it the case that the hospital can be sectioned in a certain way? We're not saying that all the family and spouses need to be there. We're saying one support, and also it's in a way that will work for the hospital and the staff as well as those attending. So again, you're making sure that the safety of the patient is paramount, but at the same time, you want to make sure that they have the support there as well. So again, this is why I'm asking the questions now, because I want to know what exactly is in place in the hospitals right now, and is it fit for purpose for the times that we have right now.
Now, I assume this, each hospital makes their own rules rather than there's some sort of national policy.
There's guidance from the there's obviously guidance from NPHET and from national, but the hospitals themselves would have their own management structures as well.
Yeah, because I suppose the geography of the hospital and how narrow corridors are and that kind of thing was probably might be a factor.
This is the thing, Sean. I went for a visit to talk to the staff of Holles Street when I first took office, and they were brilliant. Like, all the staff were doing amazing jobs, and the masters showed me the different facilities and how they were preventing COVID, and the whole setup was brilliant. And my question is, now as we move into different phases, you're absolutely right in saying numbers are climbing, so we have to be diligent, but as we move into different phases of COVID, how do we make sure that those systems that were in place still remain fit for purpose, but also serve the people that they're trying to support and provide a service to?
Of any of the women who replied to you, Hazel, have any of them talked about when they left hospital, visits from the district nurse, that kind of thing? Are those elements of it, have they been affected as well?
There's been community care that's definitely in existence, but it is different, and a lot of the women were talking about their more kind of direct hospital experience, because that's what I was asking for.
Yes, right.
So, okay. But it's a good point. It is something that we should look at how is the community care working? Is that currently fit for the circumstances we're under at the moment?
Yeah, because obviously everyone probably feels a bit isolated, but it's particularly isolating if you might be two people or just one person at home with a newborn. That's kind of tough, it should be said. While I have you, Hazel, can I ask you about the Waste Action Plan? Now, it's a proposed proposed idea at the moment, but people seem to be jumping up and down about it, particularly about the proposals in relation to cheap clothes or fast fashion. What specifically is proposed in relation to that? Can you explain?
So the proposals, and I get where people are coming from, because it hasn't been communicated as well as I think it should have been. So, well, firstly, we need to make a distinction between cheap clothing and fast fashion. Like, I have friends, family who would buy cheap clothing because they can't afford it, and that we need to make sure that people can still clothe their families. But the difference with that in fast fashion is if you look at certain retailers, they continually push out different lines throughout the year. So one of them had the stats that they were pushing out 52 different kind of seasons throughout the year, where it would have been the case with fashion that you push out four. So it is a case of stopping that constant, you need pushing to the consumer that you need to buy this, you need to have this item now, and even though you just bought an item last week. So the plan is to develop a framework for separate textile waste collection, which bans them from household waste, landfill and incineration. This is really good because most textiles are nasty and have chemicals in it. So, and then there's a reviewing of regulations for clothes banks as well, which is good because a lot of the clothes that we sell, we send off to countries, global south, they don't really need our rubbish, and what it happens is it sits there and it becomes toxic. So we want to also promote eco-design and Irish designs and retailers. That's 100% good, especially in the current climate, that we need to support local. So, and we also need to improve data on used waste, textile waste. So it's important to understand the problem that we're tackling, and we also want to support education in textiles and make people understand, get people to understand how clothing are made, how much work needs to be put in it, so that you're not constantly looking at items going, oh, I'll just buy this, and thinking that it got churned out somewhere in Southeast Asia that is cheaper on labour.
Jump in there. I suppose the pivot of the controversy is around the fact that poor people buy cheap clothes or fast fashion. I'm not sure what the distinction between those two things are, and that while everything you said is completely laudable, it does penalise poor people once again.
This is the thing. I fully understand the concerns, and again, this is, I think, a communication problem rather than what is being proposed, because fast fashion as itself already punishes poor people. It's not like, so you are, if you keep on pushing out, telling people that they have to buy, and they're trying to make sure that they're on top of the trend, they're going to be constantly broke just by buying this fashion. So it's not a levy on cheap clothes. What we're looking at doing is to make sure that we levy the producers and the retailers as well, because they are the people that we need to look at. So if you look at how much then the overstock that people have, for example, H&M had 4.3 billion of dead stock sitting in 2018. Imagine the fines that you can put on that. So again, it does not have to be on the consumer. And if it isn't consumer, then we need to make sure we mitigate it by having certain things like fat reductions on it. So I get people's concerns, but I think one of the issues is reading into the deeper policy and understanding, well, where exactly is the plan going? And I don't think that the headlines have been helpful of late. But again,
are you saying, Hazel, yeah, specifically, just I suppose to address that particular point, for people who are worried about the affordability of the clothes they buy, are you saying that the price of clothes will not go up as a result of this?
I can't say that they will not go up, but what I'm saying is that if they were to go up, we will try to mitigate it with things like a fat reduction, for example. The job of government, and I'm not in government, so I can't speak for them, to be honest, but yes, what I can see from this policy is that it's not out there to penalise the vulnerable. It's there to make sure that we try to have an industry where it's not toxic for everyone that is part of it, including the consumer at the end of the day.
Hazel, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That's the Lord Mayor of Dublin, Hazel Chew.
Moncrief on News Talk.